Well, thanks so much for joining us for TechLaw 10 this week. This is Jonathan Armstrong speaking to you live from the UK. And Eric?
This is Eric Sinrod from Duane Morris, also in San Francisco.
And we're very pleased that you could join us. This week, Eric and I have discovered something else we've got in common, as well as both being lawyers that have had an interest for many, many years in technology. We both like this Peter Steiner cartoon that some of you may have seen. It's a dog, and he's tapping away on his keyboard, and he's saying, on the internet, nobody knows you're a dog. Now, I didn't know this cartoon is so popular. It has its own page on Wikipedia. It was created by a guy called Peter Steiner, who published it in the New Yorker magazine. Eric, this made me feel extremely old, but have a guess at when that cartoon came out.
Oh, my gosh. I'm guessing late 90s.
Yeah, earlier than both of us thought then, 1993. As of 2000, it was the most reprinted cartoon ever that the New Yorker had run. And that got you thinking, Eric, I guess, about all sorts of anonymity and freedom of speech type issues. Was the dog right under U.S. law?
Maybe originally, but I think the intent behind the cartoon was, you know, when you're in face-to-face conversation with people, they can see who you are. But as the internet sort of sprung up as a mass viable communication medium, you know, anybody could sit behind a computer and log on and either be themselves or pretend to be not themselves, even maybe a dog. And you could be communicating with somebody you think is one way and they're really another. Bow wow, bark bark. But only to a point, and I've written about this in my most recent blog that's coming out this week for Fine Law, but yes, to a point. We have a constitutional right here in the United States to have freedom of speech. That's been interpreted by courts to allow people to speak online freely and also anonymously. So if you want to go on to the internet and, you know, Jonathan Armstrong not use his real name but use a pseudonym and communicate that way, you can. And I even posed a hypothetical in my blog that's coming out as follows. Let's say, this is purely hypothetical, there's a person whose name is John Smith, and he wants to start up a web page that's critical of, let's say, a fast food restaurant chain. And so he creates that page, and he calls himself John Crusader. So we don't really know who he is. And then he puts on that page all sorts of damning information about the restaurant chain, you know, alleging, for example, that rather than serving chicken in their little fried, you know, cubed foods, it's actually fried rat. And obviously that would get people upset. And let's say that the fallout and the consequences, there's mass hysteria, and, you know, 50% of people stop going to the fast food chain because they're concerned about rat potentially being served instead of chicken. And then the share price of the stock of the company plummets. There's some real harm there. So in this particular context, even though John Smith was able to act as John Crusader and speak freely, can he walk off, you know, as we say, scot-free and not face any implication for that? And as the Internet's matured and cases have filtered through the courts here in the United States, the answer is it depends. And so what would happen, if I may continue, Jonathan, just for another minute.
Yeah.
Okay. Say. What would happen here, you know, plainly the restaurant chain would not be amused, and they could file a lawsuit alleging defamation and other potential causes of action. But again, they don't know who to file the lawsuit against other than the fictitious John Crusader. So they would file the lawsuit against what we call a John Doe defendant, a fictitious defendant, because they don't know the true identity, allege their causes of action, and then from that lawsuit would spring a subpoena. And they would subpoena the relevant Internet service provider, the ISP, and say, you need to turn over to us the identity of this person who goes by the pseudonym John Crusader. Well, the ISP is neutral on this. They, you know, they just want to abide by lawful process. And if they're faced with a subpoena, which has the force of law, they will comply, but they need to give John, the true John Smith, notice and say, look, John Smith, we've been hit with this subpoena. we're going to give up your identity because we're being compelled to unless you do something about it. And here in the United States, John Smith, his option would be to file what's called a motion to quash in the court. And, of course, he wouldn't reveal his true identity in doing so. He would be fictitious, and he'd say, look, I should not be unmasked. I'm entitled to operate and communicate freely and anonymously on the Internet. And then the court is faced with a balancing test because he's right about that, but, as I said, only to a point. The court then would have to weigh the argument from the other side. And if the restaurant chain, the fast food restaurant chain, could show what we call a prima facie case, they don't have to prove up their entire case, but enough of a case at the outset to say, look, to establish, these statements were false. We do not serve fried rat. And by the way, not only were they false, they've caused us harm. You know, the traffic into our restaurants now is 50%. Our share price has dropped 50%. We've been hurt. We're entitled to legal redress. We need to know his true identity. And if the court were to agree with that, then John Smith's identity would be unmasked. I know this is taking a while. I'm almost done. His identity, his identity would be unmasked, and then his true name would be inserted into the lawsuit as a defendant. And off we go, and it would be fast food chain versus John Smith. And if the fast food chain ultimately won, John Smith, if he had any money, could be on the hook for serious damages. But cases go the other way. If there isn't a true showing of falsity in the statements, and if there isn't a true showing of harm, then there is no unmasking. Is there anything analogous to this, what I'm describing, in the UK?
Do you know what? I think we're coming more closely to the US than we've ever been in these areas. I think in the past, obviously we don't have a written constitution in the UK. We don't have necessarily a constitutional right to free speech. So traditionally, it's been more or less the same. If somebody defames you on the internet, you run along to the ISP, and you get an order. Usually you'd get an order as a pre-action piece of litigation, pre-action hearing, to get the name of the real person that you want to attack because you say that they've said wrong things about you. And we've had cases like that in the UK, one concerning alleged facts about an alleged football club. I say that because they're in the same league as mine. So we've had these sort of cases in the past. What's been interesting, really, has been the rise of human rights litigation in Europe. This comes from effectively a European human rights legislation that almost acts like a constitution. And I think we're going to see more cases where the Balancing Act is going to have to be done by the courts. So balancing an individual's human rights against the ability to attack them. And I think we're going to end up more or less with the same test as you outlined, really. The only thing that people need to be more careful about in Europe is data privacy rights. So the individual has an absolute right not to have his personal details transferred across to the other litigant. Although in many cases, ISPs will qualify that right by saying in their terms and conditions that if we get a subpoena or if we get legal proceedings served on us asking to disclose your identity, then and you've done something wrong, then we'll pass it on. We've got some interesting litigation coming to court. We think it's coming to court in the next few weeks on this in the UK. One of the two internet service providers are resisting requests for them to disclose the nature of people who are allegedly downloading software on the internet. We found out that the lawyers bringing the case collapsed last week, their law firm, so those cases might not reach the courts now. But if they do, I think they'll set some interesting guidelines as to how these requests are going to work over here.
Yeah, well, I think we're about at our limit, and a lot of that is my fault. But
it was interesting.
You know, it is an interesting topic. And so for those of you out there, whether you're a dog or a human being, yes, you can communicate freely and anonymously on the Internet, but be careful, because if what you say is false and you hurt somebody, you might be unmasked. So until next time, this is Eric Sinrod in San Francisco and...
Jonathan Armstrong from the UK. You can get us on the usual channels. If you're a dog, contact Eric on Facebook. And and we'll speak to you next week. Our email address is again, I'm Jonathan Armstrong, jparmstrong@duanemorris.com.
Eric Sinrod, EJ Sinrod, duanemorris.com. You can follow us, as he mentioned, at Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and everywhere else. We're ubiquitous. Until next time, thank you.
Thanks for listening.